2269. It's Murder Moo. Oh, wait, no, it's 22. It's episode 22. Murder Moose.
You are like high into the future when you think we're up. Episode 69, giggity, I don't know, fucking,
where am I? 2269!
You got that very, like, metally metal voice, like those from the 80s, like, where they have the, you know, the super, like King Diamond kind of thing going?
Hell yeah, dude. I'm from Canada. I don't know. You know what I just realized? This guy who did Possessor also did Antiviral, and that makes total sense to me now. Okay.
I have not loved that movie. I've not seen the Antiviral. It was one of those movies that has been on my list, and I've never actually seen it. But the premise of that one always, you know,
it's cool to me. It almost seems like this is like a natural progression now. I just went to the writer director's page, and I'm like, what? He's only done like shorts in between Antiviral and this as well. So this is, I can't wait to talk about this movie, man. He is
David Cronenberg's son. So,
oh, I guess that makes sense. Okay. You just told me that, and now I know that. So,
yeah,
I did not know that.
Well, welcome everyone. I'm Rod. This is Josh. Hi. We are the, say it, Josh, Murder Moose.
Huh?
Murder Moose. Murder Moose. Huh? Part of the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. What's up, brother?
You know, Murder Moose and stuff.
Murder Moose and stuff. Yeah, it's starting to snow here in the old Colorado, so it's getting cold, and I was upstairs, and Gizmo was harassing me, because that's what Gizmo does, and
dude, we had a polar vortex. It was called a polar vortex in Calgary, like, what fucking year is it right now? I don't even know. So
19,000 million years AD, 22, 7.
Yeah, I don't know. This world and the ups and downs, the seesaw life that I live right now is just, you know, it is what it fucking is, I guess. Seesaw, hooray. I'm on an up sea, and then maybe next time you see me, I might be on a downward saw. Who fucking knows? Yippee!
I think, as the great Frank Sinatra once said, that's life.
Yep.
We are here, and man, I don't know what I think I expected going into this movie, but I don't think this movie was what I expected.
I don't know if I saw anything other than the poster. I know my buddy Ian, who I watch all the time, Activator, he watched it, and he was kind of given like a little like breakdown on his stream, just like some of the spots that were like kind of cool and stuff, but like not too spoilery or anything, because and I'm like, that sounds fucking cool. And
I thought we went over this in like DMs. Your toaster told us to watch this movie.
Oh right,
the brave little toaster. the bravest little toaster.
No, I saw this movie. Well, because you know me and my collection of movies, right? If something gets put on and it's got a poster that fucking cool, I'm going to want to look into it, right? Like this one, I don't know. Like I judge a book by its cover all the time when it comes to movies, because it can, for me, it tells me instantly the quality of the art director, at least attached to the movie. Or, you know, because that gives me at least a window into what the production is, I guess, you know? Like, if you it speaks to me more. And, like, this, the poster is, like, eyes of mouths all over, like, the mask of eyes with mouths and stuff. It just, like, it's a visual that just is, you've never seen that before, right? So it's, like, it plays with your head right from the poster, right?
Speaking of posters, when do you join the Willy's Wonderland crew? They said you were hired, so.
Hey, they obviously didn't listen, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, that's...
Hey, I gave it, like, I dug out with my tweet saying, hey, even though, like, you know, even though I was in a very, I don't know, man, like, coming off the tail... Like, seriously, you can't beat Psycho Gorman. And nothing will beat Psycho Gorman. And if you're going to be in a very similar genre on the heels of something that made me so happy, you're going to get just, like, shit on.
It's funny. I saw a tweet going around today, and someone had found a Chuck E. Cheese at, like, some, like, dump or something like that. And it was, like, completely wrecked. And I'm like, this looks like an extra out of Willy's Wonderland. And it made me laugh. But, yeah. Yeah,
I
so
like
yeah, Josh made a poster for Willy's Wonderland like he's been doing last week. And I think the director, was it the director, saw it and told Josh he was hired for the production or the team? And I'm like... Yeah. And then I'm laughing ass off.
Like, this is what, I couldn't find anyone. I went to go, like, tag because I did, or search on Twitter to be like, hey, cool. Like, you know, I love the posters that the movie made. And I love, the t-shirts. And there's, like, a few things that were done right for the movie.
Yeah.
But, like, overall, it was a very underwhelming experience for me. But still was searching to, like, tag or at least to be like, yo, you know. Appreciated it enough to make this poster at least, you know. But I couldn't find them. But he found me somehow, so that's cool.
Yeah, I know that guy is the guy who directed Willy's Wonderland was on. I watch 3C Films on YouTube. I don't know if you've ever seen him. He does a lot of horror and a lot of superhero type stuff, news stuff. He had the director on his show on his channel and like interviewed him. That seemed like a pretty cool interview. But So this week, though, we started talking about it a little bit, but we are talking about the 2020 horror sci-fi thriller by Brandon Cronenberg. Yes, the son of David Cronenberg, called Possessor. And like Josh was talking about, this movie has a wicked poster, a super wicked poster. And... I just noticed this because I didn't notice this before. It's like this movie is, it's weird. It's like an hour 43 minutes long, but there's like a lot going on in that, you know, hour and 43 minutes.
Oh, they cover. I felt like I had like a turkey dinner of a movie because I don't know, like the sci-fi bits of this, you can tell he loves The Matrix, loves, you know, like there's an appreciation on a very high level. And it's those things that I love, again, in the direction and just the decisions that were made visually to tell the sci-fi story were done in like an old school, almost like Kubrick 70s vibe way, and it looked so fucking good. Like you strip it all back and it's just a really crispy room with a cool chair and like an auxiliary cable that's like for audio and like a thing that goes over her head. So elegant and so like just design wise like for visuals and stuff looked so cool. And the like the just like the whole LCD wall or the I guess it was just a projected wall or something like visually just to tell the sci-fi end of it. Holy shit. But again, it's stuff that you've seen more in old school movies. And I love the use of it. And I think that the art direction, again, I always go to like the visuals more, it looked so good all the way through. And then mixed with, the very, very, very violent, like brutally violent, but filmed almost like Ari Aster, like he always shows the ultra violence. He'll zoom up and do an ultra close up so you can't look away. And this movie does the same thing, but it's so tastefully done. It sets a really gritty, visceral tone to the whole movie as well. And it's done it's done so well all the way through that it's a Cronenberg, like, it lives up to the fucking name. Like, holy shit. This movie is fantastic. Wow.
You know, we've it's reoccurring. I think we're going to set a record for saying the movie title Psycho Gorman on this podcast, but we talked about it as the letting you live in this world and how it feels like the world's there. This Possessor feels like you have this universe that's happening and all this. It sets you in the middle of like something and it feels like it's been going on. It's like you're in book like four of a series. Yes. Like there are three books that happened before this.
I loved that feeling too, especially how it ends. It's almost like next chapter type vibe. And it's like, oh, fuck. Like this is, and that's what adds to that really gritty, dark tone to the whole movie. It is like it knows what it is the entire time. And I think it's because the narration and the story isn't really the main character. It's the one guiding the main character, and you kind of figure that out towards the end of the movie. It's like just dead eyes. It's so like, holy shit, like to think about this, like a universe, or not universe, but this like company or whatever, like the Johnny Mnemonic company that like uses just an audio cable to jack it, but like, again, elegant. It strips it down to like the bare minimum of what you would need to show visually to get away with what they're having to do, and that's what makes it so cool. And it reminds me of like Blade Runner type vibes with like just it being like steampunky and stuff, or like
there's
I freaking love, I don't know, man, when it goes into the ultra visual to tell the story of two beings like coming together, the like wax like forming and unforming, like visually this was stunning on so many different levels. It was like a trip and a half, but you just don't see like, what movie were we watching where I was just so pissed off that the psychological parts literally just used someone close to a camera going for 2 seconds and then the cutaway. I was like, are you kidding me? That's all you did? Like, this is the amount of detail and that you should go into to tell that gap. That's, you know, like what Jordan Peele did to show the sinking, that visual sinking into the chair was like, oh my God, visually you just like, it was so simple and elegant, but you did something that no one's done before, and whoa. And I feel like this is not, that's, you know, the glitch and the whatever, it hasn't been done before, but this is like the amount of detail that you kind of have to do now in order to like stand out. I think it was just,
it reminds me of a drug trip, but like a drug trip that there are experiences in this movie that are put in for very specific reasons. Like read the synopsis real quick, Josh, because that's, I got to go from there to, because this movie is, I watch, this movie's streaming on Hulu, and I don't know how many people have seen it and how much has to do with it being coming out last year in the shit show that was 2020, and you know, continuing.
I always look for, well, especially movies that come out on like Neon or A21, you know, like that type of stuff is like, you know, I just always am drawn to those type of productions and stuff. Okay. Possessor follows an agent who works for a secretive organization that uses brain implants technology to inhibit other people's bodies, ultimately driving them to commit assassinations for high-paying clients. It also reminded me of this movie that Ryan Reynolds did that is the exact same thing. It, like, he's transferring his body into someone else.
Yeah.
But it was like an old rich guy that, like, you know, it's always privilege. It, this type of thing, it's to be immortal, right? It's to live on. Your mind got you to this place of power. So now you get to possess something.
I mean, it's
kind of
like Get Out, right?
Get it.
Kind of like Get Out, where they transfer their consciousness into these young, athletic, you know.
Well, I just brought up Get Out too, right? But to show the, like, the sinking. But, like, I guess, I don't know. Have you seen Johnny Mnemonic too? Like, everyone's seen The Matrix.
A long time since I've seen Johnny Mnemonic. When it's him
but
as
they
a
just use
data
the
carrier,
little...
right? He, like, data carrier.
Yeah, but they use the, like, the little Jack in that one, right? So it's, like, the same vibes.
Well, what I really liked about this movie is that, I mean, we're not spoiling anything yet. We'll spoil it in a little while. But, like, they start off and you get this head jack scene. And you're like, what the fuck? And there's this... It starts off with these really, really, really cool visuals with these four women walking down this, like kind of, like, loaded
they do the Kill Bill thing.
Yeah.
It's like Kill Bill. But, like, the gore in Kill Bill is turned up to 13, but then does it in a comedic level.
Yeah, comedic.
The gore is turned up to 13 the exact same way visually, but then it's done in this really raunchy, gritty, like, holy fuck. Like, it makes you feel gross.
It goes, you start wondering, once you figure out what's happening, you go, what's her name? The main character is... What? I don't even know what the fuck her name is. Everyone in this movie is like, you don't know who anyone is. Because they have it all by, but, like, the main character is sitting there and you don't know what's happening for, like, the first, like, what, couple minutes, and then you kind of get an idea, but, like, it is, there's a kill right at the beginning of the movie, and it is brutal as fuck.
I'm like, how dead can that fucking guy be? Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. Well,
it's a reoccurring thing.
Yeah,
so
it's a reoccurring theme. It's like,
you really get to know, like, I guess if you're gonna get, like, transplanted into several different people's bodies for the only reason is to kill other people, you're gonna get a bloodlust or a weird... Like, if you're melting and remelting, and
you know what else?
Only just to kill someone to melt and then remelt back into yourself, that doesn't sound very healthy.
No, well, that's why I said it. This sounds like it kind of comes off as like book three or four of a series, right? Because this bitch is broken at this point, or all, like, barely hanging on to, like, quote unquote sanity, and you get. Hints and clues throughout the movie that she's not okay. There's, like, a husband or an ex-husband and a child that she's obviously super estranged from. And even though, like,
before she's going to the door thing really sheds another huge light into just, like, she has to, like, it's everything is a performance, like, even the IRL is
acting,
major performance. Yeah,
it's the how does she act like a normal human being at this point still, and how she has to rehearse to be around her own son and everything like that. And dude, I think I saw more dicks in this movie than I've ever seen in any horror. There are a lot of dicks being whipped around in this movie.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. Like, I feel like a movie that, well, it should almost, you know, like, this movie it's even keel in everything. And I think that's where this movie like is more above the rest with the tone. It takes the blanket off. You're not allowed to hide under the blanket in like Hollywood I feel like this is like the really gritty, real approach to, this genre has been done, but not like this. Like this is the salt and pepper is just it's been spiced and seasoned. I don't know. Like what I said, this is how my mind works about movies, right? Like I try to dissect them and then see the meat and potatoes and the seasoning and like that type of stuff, right? And I feel like that's why I was so pissed off last week with Willy's, because it felt like it had the meat and potatoes and then it just left everything else off. And I was like, well, I like gravy with my potato. Like, come on, they're on the table. You just didn't mix it all in and like feed it to me like you're supposed to. Like this is supposed to be a finished package. And I feel like this is the complete opposite of Willy's. This is like, wow, you get it on so many levels and you're just checking all the boxes off.
Well, it's funny too, because I usually know a little bit about these movies at least. And I had known that this was sci-fi and whatever, and that it was Cronenberg's
son. Like Moon. That movie came out of nowhere for me. And I went and saw it in like a tiny little theater in Calgary. And I was just like, holy fuck. Like people don't understand sci-fi like that. Like the lighting and the miniatures and the attention to detail in that movie. And it's one character and you can do so much. And I just made me love Sam Rockwell on like so many different levels back then. And now he's winning Oscars. And of course he should, he's unfreaking real. But then, you know, you find out it's David Bowie's son and I'm like, okay, well the artist, like that's why I brought up Moon, because it's just sci-fi, but it's like that father-son passing of like artistry. I don't know, man. Like, is there something to be said about like the torch in a family when it comes to like
talent, man? Like genetic talent is like a thing, but it also, I feel like there's a definite.
Well, he's got a style and a half. I got to check out his shorts, because Antiviral was, again, it was so like gritty and the tone of it.
Well, the concept of that movie is fucked up. So if you don't know Antiviral, I've never seen it, like I said, but I know the concept because I've seen videos about it and stuff, is where people basically go onto the black market and they buy diseases and
celebrities
had, so, and it's that creepy fucking ginger kid is in that movie I see him, he gets all cleaned up and he's in a suit and he still looks like when you get all cleaned up and in a suit and you still look like a fucking psychopath, you are a creepy looking motherfucker. So that's an acting thing. And that movie made a lot of like waves, and I think that, I don't know, man. I heard good
Caleb
things about
Jones,
this movie. Yeah,
from X-Men, and he's in Get Out, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, he was the brother.
Yes, right.
Yeah, he was the brother. Yeah,
there was a point in time where he was like in a lot of stuff that I watched.
Yeah. But man, one of those things, like the acting in this movie is fucking top notch.
Oh yeah. And everyone, you just, especially like Colin Tate, like the entire, like his face, like he's the guy that eventually is the struggle and the one that like tears this whole story apart and everything. I don't know, like, because we just watched Freaky and the acceptance of like someone else in someone else's body and stuff like that. It's like this thing that is reoccurring right now for some reason. And I like it though. And to see him do it, he was really good. He had a lot of different like levels to his acting in it. And like that knob that they did. Oh, we got to like We got to tune you up. And he was like, I was like, holy shit, this is unreal.
Well, it's funny because the whole like in someone else's body thing means he was like, a lot of this movie was acting in two different roles, right? He was acting as himself, but he was also acting as the female agent acting as
him. He was in It Comes at Night. That was a...
Dude, I love that movie.
I don't know, man. Like, it was grim as fuck, and I like that style of just it being like super dark and grim. But then, like at the end, where they just like kill the person just for like a lasting effect, I was like, I don't know. I felt like wrongfully backhanded for some reason. And like normally, if you're like, for me being a caught off guard. And it was pretty much just to backhand the audience. It usually leaves me feeling like, yeah, with like a sense of like, fuck you, audience, because like I'm a filmmaker and I like saying that for some reason. But this time, for some reason, that one didn't make me feel that. I think I felt it with the audience, just like, oh, what the fuck? There was like no point to that whatsoever.
That movie is, It Comes at Night is more a...
It's a psychological.
Mankind left to itself is in a real bad spot. It's very, very much like zombie films in the fact that it's going, hey, fucked up shit can happen in the world because that has some kind of apocalyptic event. But
it's all
it's
in
mankind
what
is
you,
the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't let your mind take over because it will tell you the wrong thing.
I have to say, like, the handler in this movie is just a gigantic bitch, and I really, really didn't like her. And then the ending of the movie made it go, fuck, I really hate her. But then you really, really kind of hate the main character at the same time because you go, she doesn't even give a fuck.
It shows the like lowest of the low that you can go to like not feel anything. And but it also shows how beautifully it like shows my head. I try and I had it like right there.
So someone farted into your mouth. Okay, that's what happened. Okay.
No. The foreshadowing in the movie of the like the jugular stab, and then it comes back at the end just to like bookend this like with a very gruesome jugular fucking like,
dude.
The most like, but it keeps showing it so close up and stuff. But like, it almost tests you too, right? I love when movies can show gore in a artistic way, like if you're gonna do it like this to show it artistically, but it's so gruesome at the same time. The
it's
they
realistic.
Got the sound effects really good too. They made them like really really well.
This movie goes, it literally hits the gas, and then it's very it's classified as a thriller too, which makes a lot of sense just because of like that you're kind of on the edge of your seat where it's combining all these elements and it's very much like,
yeah, it's all going to fall apart, and you really feel that.
Well, what I don't get though, you get this synopsis of the movie, right? Driving them to commit assassinations for high paying clients. That is never stated or addressed in that movie any time that I remember. And
there's a few questions that I have that I'll probably get answered once we start spoiling and you start talking about it a little more. But I felt like there was a few holes. Yeah. Like I was like, what, did I miss something? And it was a little loud in my house towards the beginning of the movie. So I think I did miss how they actually... Like, did they explain how the fuck they get into the other person other than just going into this machine? It's just like,
they just showed that the installation of the receiver or whatever.
Yeah, I missed that. How did they? It's like a pill or something they drink or something.
No,
like
no, no. That's the part where they're like, they're drilling into their head, and then like they put this thing in, and you're like, oh, because you're just watching like things go into their like the dude's head, like, but it looks very like it looks very like, yeah, it's not it, it was it's kind of it's when they use gore in this movie, they do not fuck around, man. The violence is violence in movies often is this like, you know, it's like, oh God, that's cool. This violence in this movie is not cool. The violence in this movie is, it's like,
yeah,
it like kicks you in the balls hard. It's
like Midsommar, it uses it to get that,
yeah,
like 110% reaction out of the crowd. Yeah. It's like, oh, it wants you to do that type of reaction, and I'm like, oh, but I appreciate that though.
Yeah, well, it doesn't.
You don't see it often anymore.
No,
man.
Like, it's violence in horror is often comical, like it's like over the top or it's whatever. It's Jason Voorhees punching off a dude's head on a rooftop.
Because it's hard to show it like this, man. Like to get it to look and sound like this, you're definitely putting an audience in a place. And you have to know you're putting them in that place. So it's definitely, everything was intentional. But even you look on the trailer image on IMDb and that like visual of the projector over her showing her that's her like guilt with the blood of her past victims on her face. It's so like visually and artistically and just like, but she can say so much with just a look too. Like, she is has such an expressive face, and like for her to go from Mandy, like I've seen her in Mandy and now this, like back to back.
Yeah, she was Nicolas Cage's wife in Mandy, right?
Yeah. So like I'm like, she knows how to pick them in the horror genre because those are two fucking A+ bangers now for me and her. So I trust her judgment in horror and what she selects, and she's knocked it out of the park both times I've seen her. So
Well, she also does a really, really, really good job for the limited world she has in this, because she's like set off as the main character, but she's not really she's not sharing the screen time of a main character. She's a
That's Christopher is the main character essentially,
and then she's the one sitting through the Inception things. I mean, this movie has Inception vibes in it too, because the whole there are scenes that are very much like the spinning top, right? The is this real or is this not real kind of thing? And you go,
well, I feel like this movie overall had its own tone for sure, but then there was like little pockets here and there that it just peppered in its like hat tips to the movies that were definitely inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, man, you get a good, there's certain things I really like in cinema that don't get done very much anymore. Like, man, a good bank robbery in a movie in a drama kind of thing. Like, I go and look at things like The Town, which overall that movie was okay. It wasn't as good as I
loved
as I
that movie, man. I still love that movie.
It was like, okay. Not okay was understandable. It was good.
It shows that Ben Affleck is like way better at just filmmaking than so many other people. I don't know.
Oh,
he gets
he
it
understands
on
it. Yeah.
So many fucking levels.
Yeah.
I just, again, if he's doing something, I was thinking about this the other day, like star power and like what it is nowadays with like social media and blah, blah, blah. And like, it's just this huge, like of everything, but like there's something to be said about a few different star power, and like Ben Affleck is one of those star power names that is like, I don't care if he's in it, I'm gonna check it out because his track record is there. And
I'm not always interested in everything he does, but he does, like, I know it's
checked
usually
out like the
good.
Way Back or whatever, the one he did after Batman, after he did
the alcoholic coach
one. Like, again, he brought it all because he chose that role because he just went through it himself, right? So he's like, well, I don't even have to act, right? I could just bring it because I just went through it. So I don't know, man. I have my own struggles and stuff to see characters like that. It just, again, it shows like growth in a human, right? So
it's
everyone's story, right?
But I think my point with all that was going to end up being that, like, when you have these, like, these things that don't get done as much, but, like, when they get done, it's very well. Like, the whole, like, hitman, like, this agency that is doing this shit, it's, I mean, it happens, but, man, it doesn't get, like, it got, was getting
done a lot.
I
feel like that was the undertone.
Yeah.
Like, they really played it up at the beginning that this was, like, this Kill Bill type organization, and it was really slick and, like, efficient, and like they go in and get the job done and get the fuck out, and like this is a repeatable process. But then after the second time, it like
that's the rest of
really,
the movie. Yeah,
yeah, but like they really, they like, I don't know, like they sent someone else in to like retune her, and they're like spending a lot of attention. So like him coming in and being like rock star impressed by her. It's like, oh, it's an honor to meet you. Like, she's done this. Like, how many times do you have to do that to become a rock star in, like, a company,
well,
I mean, guess, right?
You figure out later on.
It's Black
this
Mirror vibes.
This bitch is broken at the beginning and kind of lucked out. Like, she lucked out at the beginning because she couldn't kill herself at the very beginning,
suicide by cops. So
she gets killed by the cops, and it's a, and this is the very, very, very beginning of the movie, so it's not spoiling stuff yet. And you figure out, you later you go, oh, that wasn't a one time thing. This bitch is broken and can't, like, either she's not holding enough power, or she's not mentally capable of doing whatever she's doing anymore. And you go talk about the guy being impressed by her. It's like, how long has she been doing this, and how many ones has she gone through? And it's like, man, I haven't seen a lot of David Cronenberg movies. I need to fix that. But man, The Fly is still one of my favorites ever. And like his, I mean, Cronenberg is, it's funny because you think about it, and it's like, I don't know how everyone, if I think a lot of people outside of horror don't get it, but like Rick and Morty has an episode where Rick starts turning people, like mutating people, and they like, it's Cronenberg them or whatever. It's like fucking up, and body horror is so notorious for the name Cronenberg that they like, Rick and Morty is making jokes about it. And it's like, so that's what kind of legacy this guy has in, like, in what he did as a director for years and years and years. And his son's coming in and just fucking, you know, hitting home runs, like, with shit like that. I need to watch Antiviral now. I need to watch it with how much I love this movie. And is it just me? Does Christopher Abbott kind of look like he reminds me of Jon Snow a lot, but like that's who he kind of reminds me of, the guy from Game of Thrones. But no, also Sean Bean's in this movie, and they said he didn't die, which if Sean Bean didn't die, by the way, and then maybe that's a little spoiler, we'll talk about it, he's not gonna, his, the rest of his life is not going to be very pleasant, I will say that much, because he got fucked up. Okay, so you're like me, Josh. You're gonna recommend, if you into sci-fi horror, man, this movie is a fucking blast, and you should definitely go check it out and watch it. Like I said, it's on Hulu right now.
It Hulu's is in your fate. Watch out for a fucking poker to the eye. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, this movie is it's weird because its horror elements are
13.
They're not,
they turn it up
they're
to
13. Not, but horror elements aren't immediately obvious through a lot of this movie, right? It's like,
no, it's a full on a thriller sci-fi. Like I said, more like Matrix and Johnny Mnemonic, like the drama aspects, and it, like, it's just good storytelling.
Yeah.
Awesome characters that you want to kind of know more. I don't know. It's just, it's
amazing. As I said, this environment, this world is set up. You have to figure most of these things out just from watching this movie and seeing what's happening. And also, the other thing that I'm kind of interested in, and we'll talk about it, but what was that motherfucker's job? What was that dude doing? What was that guy doing? Because, like, his job was like, what the fuck is happening? You know what it reminded me of? It seemed like, this isn't a spoiler, it seemed like his job would be like, you know how our cell phones listen to us and, like,
That's what I said. It's very Black Mirror vibes. Yeah. Like that whole episode with the dude from Get Out that they're like pretty much like YouTubers in a room and they have to like be a YouTuber for the rest of their life. And then they'll get out of life debt or something, you know, like it's just like this fucking super dark way of looking at what we do. But like,
oh, dude. Yeah.
Oh, it's, my God. But it's the same like dark way of looking at a thing. But like, yeah, what the fuck was his job?
I honestly I think they were selling ads, like, or targeting these people with ads by looking through their houses, like, and breaking into their phones or cameras or whatever like that, and targeting goods. They were looking, they were like, he's like expressly pointing out what kind of blinds they have and shit like that. So I think that might have been his job. Like, he's like targeting people's, like,
oh, yeah, it was only blinds.
Yeah. Or something like that, you know? It's like, what the fuck? Yeah. So if you like sci-fi, you like horror, go thriller stuff, go watch this. It's not
just dark.
It's got soup. It's horror, but that the horror element isn't like we were just talking about. It's brutal violence and just this. There's a sense of dread through a lot of this movie with like,
yes,
like what's happening and how being stuck in like, it's how being stuck in someone else's head, let alone your own head, can what it does to you. So go check it out, and we're gonna spoil the shit out of it.
Man, the when he starts to like gain consciousness again and like he starts saying like, oh, I'm so uncomfortable and stuff, like, man, you just like believed that, like, his acting was real. He like, yeah, it was very, very well done.
Yeah, so
but that could be coming down to like direction too, right? From, because everyone was just killing it, but also amazing cast. So
So the movie starts off with you see this jack going into this lady's head, and then you come out and this woman's in this like, it reminds me kind of like, it feels like kind of like Charlie's Angels or something like that. There's like these four,
how it was lit too. Yeah. But like they're all wearing the same Kill Bill style outfit. Yeah. And like that's why I keep referring to the Kill Bill scene.
Yeah. It's very like Charlie's Angels, or like they kind of have like a flight attendant look going about them, right? And they're like waiting for this girl, and it's obviously, and you figure out later on,
the
it's,
onesie it, jogger like zip up thing.
You figure out like this girl's probably struggling controlling this girl's head or something like that. This was really what's like, she's like snagging there for a second, like they're retuning her or whatever. And they're like doing this like walkway, like runway scene kind of thing. It's like these four good looking girls, and they walk past this dude, and she, the character that we've been following, walks up and just murks this fat motherfucker, stabs him right in the jugular with this like this little pocket knife kind of thing. And it's just, it's brutal. It is.
Oh yeah. Super slow too. Just like,
and you're like, what the fuck?
Stabs him like what, 78 times?
Yeah. Or something. It is like, it gets a lot of fucking stabbings, and you're like, and then she stabs him a bunch, and you're like, what the fuck? And everybody's running away, right? Including these three women. And she pulls a pistol out of her purse, and you're like, why didn't she just shoot this dude instead of going fucking psycho? And you start going, don't they say at some point a little bit after this, why did she shoot? Like, you hear, like, why didn't she? Yeah. and then she puts she can't pull the trigger, and like she like puts the gun in her mouth, and like she's going to kill herself. But then the cops show up, and she just points it at them, and they, death by suicide by cop, like we talked about.
But I also love the visual, because it gets said, because she goes back, and right after that, she gets retuned by saying like, oh, this is a you know, I was my grandpa's,
it's an Inception
item
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They do the whole like, okay, you're retuned back and understand where you are and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I like that calibration thing. It reminded me of Westworld a little bit too. Just the coming in and out of worlds, whatever. But then it goes right to showing her family life and what is giving her, or what is holding her back. And like, then it goes to that visual. Well, you can't have you can't hold on anymore, because if you hold on, it's going to make this the transition process impossible, because you're always going to have that like little kite string holding you back type thing. And the visual of that like hole in the matrix or the universe is like fucking up in her head, like showing that little, it's almost like a, when you see those styes in your eyes that you try and like see it and then it like goes away and then you try and see it, it's like falling, oh, and it goes away. It totally reminds me of something like that. You go to like grab it, but she like successfully grabs it and it just fucks the rest of the movie in the ass.
You kind of figure out it's her. She doesn't live with her husband, ex-husband. They don't really specify it, her son. And that's her choice. And
to try, she goes and save them.
Yeah. I guess. She goes and you were talking about her rehearsal. Like before she walks in with them, she's got to like tell herself what a normal person would say to these two. And
like how to fucks say hi correctly.
Yeah. She like fucks her ex-husband or her husband. And it's like, they got some pretty sensual scenes in this movie that are actually like, they're shot really well for like that kind of like scene. And, but like the,
it was just all up, felt real. It all felt like just real. Everything was very visceral.
It wasn't like The Room where he's fucking people's belly buttons. It's like, but the fucked up part about this whole thing is like, she like sees the husband get stabbed in the throat, the exact same spot, and she's like, you start thinking like while they're fucking that she just might murk this motherfucker. Like I thought that, at least I thought she might stab this dude in the throat
when
with a knife.
She starts like imagining the blood coming out and then goes and sucks on his neck and like bites it and stuff, and then that's when it cuts. It's like, oh, this is deep seated.
And you go, and so it kind of gets implied, again, a lot of this is just from observing, like, that this woman can't handle humanity anymore, can't handle these, like, she loves these two, the husband and the son, but she can't, like, being around them isn't, like, it breaks, she's, like, not human anymore. She's not got enough humanity left in her to, like, deal with it. Like, it doesn't work for her, and she's like, she's still there with them, and she calls the handler she has, and she's like, I need to work again, because she can't, being herself doesn't work anymore. She's been, it seems like she's been so many other people, and she's done so many shitty things. She's like, it can't, she's not there anymore. She's just like, she's,
that's
doing,
why the end of the movie just like, it makes total sense. It's almost, it's like not a deadpan joke, but it's just a deadpan reaction. Like,
oh,
just
dude,
deadpan
that,
end.
That movie, the ending of this movie is just fucked. It is, it's weird. It hits you, man. And it, like, you don't expect it, because they go somewhere in this movie they don't expect, because it doesn't happen. It's a,
I expected
break
it 100%, to be honest.
Did you?
Yeah, just because of how, like,
I expected part of
it. It goes straight through everything. Like, it cuts through almost all expectations with a knife through everything and just goes, fuck you, I'm Possessor. And I love that.
So, So the movie gets set up as, like, the second act gets set up as this guy that is going to be her target. And the reason he's the target is he's dating or engaged to the daughter of this drug lord, I think is what he is, who's also, it was Sean Bean as her dad. And he sounds like
what
a real
is that
scumbag
castle that he lives in. Holy shit.
And he's a real piece of shit, it seems like. But
So
they need him to kill this drug lord, this kingpin kind of dude, Sean Bean. So this is the one thing I don't know. And you were talking about how they do it. They show the installation, but they obviously kidnap this motherfucker off the street or something, or break into his place and get this dude. And what's really cool about it, and I'm kind of curious how it fucking happens. How do they're obviously like accessing the memories of these people or something. Cause they have, I mean, I know as an agent, you can have all this information, like you have profiles on people and you have all this stuff, but like,
they're going
knows
in.
All the friends and knows all the other stuff. Also, you know what you're talking about the chamber that they sit in. They lay on these tables when they're like, you know, taking possessing people. The mask looks like a plague doctor mask to me, like a sci-fi plague doctor mask kind of. If like, that's what it reminded me of. And it's just like covering the face, so it's like a view screen, or I don't fucking know. It's very, very weird how they handle all that, but it's
but
cool.
That's what it is. It's the elegant, like,
yeah.
It's enough visually to tell the story in like this weird, almost like old school GQE Kubricky. I don't know. Like it's a super minimal, but like it looks like it was designed. You know, like it's just perfect.
Yeah,
it is seriously perfect.
Yep. So
it's like the approach that Looper took for like explaining time travel. Fuck you. We don't have time for that. Like you don't need it. Like just accept it. This is a fucking time travel movie. Yeah. Let's get on with the fucking story. It's like yes, this is. You can jack in. That's it. That's all I gotta show you. Fuck off.
Yeah.
they told us in the Matrix.
Yeah. That's what I say. Like it doesn't treat us stupid. It gives you that there's these rules,
and that there's appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that that's what it, this world's, it's not like they're writing out the rules as they're writing out. It's like the rules exist and they're there. So she takes over this guy and, they go to his girlfriend's father's party.
I'm sure the writer director understands and knows those rules 100%, but he doesn't, he's not going to tell us. Like
he doesn't need to, he tells what he needs to in like contextually what matters to what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's I was listening to Dead in Santa Carla. They were talking about Event Horizon this week.
Oh fuck! And it doesn't hold up, like, but I still love it.
Yeah, and what they were talking about was like how much storyline got cut out because of Paramount just mutilating, like cutting half an hour out of the mix, and how that movie is still enjoyable.
I can't believe some of the stuff. Like that made it to film. Like there's some like pretty gruesome shit that the hell scenes in that are still pretty rad looking.
But what makes me, it's really cool to like watch this movie because it's like the same kind of thing, but it's not cut out. It's just, you have this world and it's just told through the storytelling, which is so good. I mean, you and I have had enough movies now that we're like, This is told all right. But it's just told so well because you just live in it and experience it.
It unfolds perfectly. It's just like the flow, the timing, the especially the score adds so much too. Like I almost didn't talk about it, but like it is. The thing that really well, and the sound effects and everything, like there's no glue in this movie. Like you don't see the glue that holds anything together in this. Like it is so, like I said, it is the like masterclass of.
Oh, it's that mix of what independent movie scores have been lately, and like with what the 80s are. Like he's got like, it's like synth stuff when it is happening, but it's never like, it's just there. Like keeping you on edge and keeping you there, but it's not like ever overwhelming. It's never like
it's
a big score hitting you.
Mix.
Yeah.
Everything is, it's put into that bowl and mixed. And man, this is what, and I didn't know what to expect either, man. Like I just knew that I don't know, man. Judge a book by its cover, I guess.
Yep. Well, so they go to this party for the girlfriend's father, Sean Bean, and they basically tell him he needs to make a scene because they always want to have these like these rational explanations for why these murders happen. And so he gets like drunk and like gets thrown out of this party for like, he's like, I'll leave the party once I have your daughter's done with my cock in her mouth or whatever he says. I'm like, holy fuck, dude, she's not fucking around, man. And they kick his ass a little bit and then kick him out. And he comes back after the party and like Sean Bean's fucking drunk and his ex.
I love the
girlfriend.
Little chess move he does with the gun, though. He like sets up for the checkmate instead of the like just the straight check. It was good.
Yeah. and he comes back and he fucking doesn't shoot Sean Bean, which I think is the only one who really needed to die in this scenario, but like beats the living shit out of him with a fireplace poker. And like at one point,
those
like,
were swings and a half. Like,
yeah.
Like when you see, I don't know, man. Like I tried and failed miserably one time to do like a stabbing scene in a movie. And like, I know now from failing what I would do better moving forward. Yeah. And just like the angles and stuff. He was swinging so freaking hard.
Yeah.
Like Sean Bean should have died because those swings were like, holy shit.
Yeah. Well, and those are brutal. And then he's down on the ground and he pulls his fucking eyeball out, which was fucking, you talk about metal. I'm like, oh, because you see like an eyeball coming out. The practical effect is, it's just a fucking jaw dropping.
With the sound effects too. It is, like I said, the mix is so great.
And then he's like, sticks the fireplace poker in his fucking mouth and is like twisting it, and you see like you hear these popping noises we talked about, like, yeah, it's just like oh, and like teeth are just like going gunk and like plopping out, and you're like oh, and like at this point the daughter walks in and is like ah, and he shoots her a couple times in the back and follows her into this big old like grand entryway, and like, guess what? Can't Boom. Kill herself again. Like, she can't have him kill himself.
Yeah.
And escapes. And this is like when her like program, like she, like he, like, I don't know why this happens, but she like smashes the like receiver in her head or something like that. Or I don't know why that happens. That was one of the questions I have with the whole thing. I don't know why, like, she messes with that, you know, that receiver thing in the head. And, like, and then the guy takes over again at some point, like, the next day. He, like, wakes up at his place or wherever he wakes up. And this is when you start figuring out that, like, the whole back and forth that he's basically taking control.
I like that because it shows like you can't really fuck around too much because like you're not the host, right? Yeah. Like it's cool.
And it's this whole like a lot of this next part is that cat and mouse kind of thing where you're like super tense because you're like, she needs to get out and he doesn't want to be there, and she doesn't want her there, obviously. And you get set up where he goes to this woman who is the friend of the girlfriend, and he wants to hang out there because he's like, oh, I just had a fight with her. Which is, I mean, she's dead now, but, and this is where he just like, she takes back control at some point and, oh no, this is after like the guy comes, right? Who had been the friend at work. And this is where you're talking about the job where this guy is like prying on people's like cameras at home and like seeing what kind of blinds they have and looking at their dicks. There's a lot of dicks in this movie. But and I'm not complaining, I'm just stating you don't see dicks in movies very often, but they're popping out. He comes and he's like, oh, I'm here. He works for the same agency as the woman. And he's like, he does something so that it like subverses like his personality. Like she's able to take back over. And then she like freaks the fuck out. Right. Like she has this, like, I don't know exactly what happens, but she ends up being knocked out again. Right. And when she wakes up, the guy's dead.
That was
the
whole rock star moment, yeah. Like, but that's where it shows that it's I don't know. How long do you think this? It's perfect that you said it seems like this is a chapter or like a series or something.
Yeah.
Like, it at that point, it made me feel like, man, okay. So the first one where she was stabbing the guy 78 times, was that like maybe her 78th time doing this? And that's why, like, yeah. Holy shit, like, there's got to be some history now.
Yeah.
At that point, like, but that's again, like, it's not pandering or to the audience by like doing a huge exposition scene where it's just like, okay, now we're gonna lay out all this and like tell you exactly, like, you don't need that shit.
Yeah, it's just the you get the details of what
little nuggets. Yeah.
Yeah, and they just like they do little details about what is happening and where they are in this particular, you know, moment, and they just go, it's enough to let you know that this is what's happening, what the rules are, all that stuff, right? It doesn't go, here's rule number one. It's just, it's not like the Zombieland rules, right? Like, it's just that like.
But that movie relies on.
Yeah,
its,
there's a comedic.
Well, no, like, it's other visuals. Like, the visual storytelling in Zombieland, yeah. it was before, like, people did, like, you know, used 3D text as like a part. It was almost like a character in the movie.
Yeah,
like those little explainers and stuff, they interacted with the stuff in the movie in a way that hadn't really been done before. And I
love that,
like,
movie.
Again, visually, that movie is it stepped it up and was like, hey, we can do super slow-mo fucking zombie titties. And like, it was the second one was a letdown, but still, whatever.
Yeah.
Those movies should live.
There's the whole, like, the girl he was staying with gets shot by one, the girl, the agent, presumably, I think. And this is where you start, like, it's kind of like, the movie's kind of like, I say winding down, but it's really winding up. The guy is like sitting there and he starts having these like visions of the where the husband and the boy live, and enough that he figures out where the fuck they live. And it's this weird, like,
I like how that's how it all unfolds, though. Like, she can't not think about it. She's the one that touched the little string, the little dot 3D thing that opened Pandora's box in his head to her side of things now. So now it's not just this one way street. It's a two way street, and she's fucked now because she's lost control. Well, and there's nothing she can do about it at this point.
So it seems like they have some kind of like 48-hour rule or something like that, or it's like
if
there's
you go
a certain
in too long,
of,
then there's repercussions.
Bad things happen. Yeah, and
it
this
could
is
really
what's
just
showing.
Like fuck you up in real life. Like when you die in the Matrix, you die in real life, but like this isn't the Matrix, so they're gonna show a shit ton of blood come out of her mouth instead of the little from the Matrix. Because that was a PG-13 movie.
No, the Matrix is R.
Was it?
But
it felt PG-13 in comparison to this. Holy shit. Yeah.
But this is where you start seeing like this is where the images of like the face mask of where he's like,
it's a perfect,
it's
perfect visual to show. Yeah. And it's like, there's other pictures where it shows the mask kind of being wearing like more in again, whatever. It's just a mask, but the way they show it and the visuals of it, like they're doing some like lens whacking and like weird overlays of color, you know, like overlays and lens flares and stuff. It all comes together to just, it's visually
and what I really like about it, it's showing what's happening because the whole movie is her wearing his skin and this is him wearing her skin in a way
like,
less subtle way
and then pops her head and then puts it on. I was like yes that was
and
so
her,
cool
the face is like you could do a slasher movie with this face as a like a mask. That's how like fucking creepy it is. And them showing it on the poster is just like, man, I don't know if you could appreciate it like with that. So it ends up like winding down with him. Like, there's a lot of little things in here, but like the overall, like, you know, ends up he finds her house in real life, forces his way in, and then starts threatening the husband and like, bitch, come out here. Like, he's like talking to himself, but it's like for her to be in there, and he's just trying to like communicate with her and like, what the fuck have you done? What have you done to me? Yeah. Get out of, like, get, leave. And yeah, this is, and then he's the one who like fucking actually snaps, right? It's not her at that point, isn't it? Like, the whole, like, I'm thinking about it right now and I'm trying to remember if I remember everything correctly. Like, does...
Yeah, but like, this is where everything, like, you kind of, I don't know, like, how do they infiltrate everyone? Like, they have people everywhere. And this is where you start to realize that this company has got to be fucking massive. Like, they're everywhere with everybody and everything. And it's got to be fucking expensive as hell. Well, but there's no heart whatsoever to this company.
Well, dude, this is where you figure out they don't fuck around, because what happens is he's there and he confronts the husband and ends up just... It's like replicating the original scene, but this is him doing it, I think. And he starts like hitting with a butcher knife. Like, it's just blood spraying everywhere. It's just like,
what? No. He says, because at that point she had already come out and she was in the room talking.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He says, this is what you have always wanted, isn't it? And he is giving her the power to get rid of the thing in her way, showing that she is completely fucking gone.
See, I missed that.
That's why she, at the end, just doesn't care, because he gave her the keys to the car to do what she wanted, and she took the keys and went with it.
Yeah, yeah.
The key is a knife.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and gets stabbed. Like, it's very similar. It's like just complete brutal overkill with this knife, and then
because she's so mad that this is happening, but then she just continues because she has no control over that bloodlust or something.
Well, and then she's sitting there in his body, and it's like, it's just like her head, right? And then
the
like,
reveal thing, a, the perfect
the
reveal
knife
thing,
comes in. And you're like, what the fuck just happened? And you look over, and it's the sun. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, what is going on? Because, like, you're sitting there going, how, like, the little kid, because the dad just got killed, is, like, trying to, but that's his mom. And you're like, what the fuck? And then she shoots him, including one of the times in the fucking face. Like, you see, is like, this kid's back of his, you're like, holy, movies don't kill kids. This is like, you know, a Hollywood thing. They don't fucking kill children. This movie does not give a fuck. And the fucked
kid,
up part,
yeah, the kid stabs him in the throat the exact same way the first. So that was like the foreshadowing of the whole movie. But then you hear the kid say the
pull
same
me out.
Thing. Pull me out. Yep. So then that's when you figure out that the whole time it's all been orchestrated by the puppet master, and the foreshadowing of that that stab to the throat is everything, because she says, I see something special in you because I've made you into me, essentially. They're both just as fucked up, and they now have the same ingredients. That fucking throat stab thing keeps them going together.
Yep.
And a box full of trinkets. That's it. That's all you need is...
It's so fucking intense there for that last like couple minutes, because like the standoff and the stabbing, and then the kid stabbing her, and you're like, what? And she shoots the kid like
the,
five
the reveal
times.
Of the reveal of, but she does the same thing to the kid too, because she doesn't mean to. It was a complete reaction, like the first initial.
Well,
was
but then
the
she
reaction.
Shoots him like,
but then after she's like, no, and it's and already done. Yeah. So then it's like, fuck, boom, boom, boom. I'm just gonna fucking make sure it's done now out of anger.
So so basically at some point, and I assume what happened was when the when she couldn't kill herself in his body, they went and took this kid because they knew that this was going to happen. I think that's what I was saying.
Like, yeah, the lady was the kid. Like, the puppet master
went
into the kid.
Yeah, I know
kid.
She was. Yeah. But she wasn't the puppet. She wasn't for most of the movie.
She was the manager of everything. She came
and
checked in.
Yeah, I know, but,
like,
what I'm saying, though, is she went and took this kid when everything went off the rails because she knew that this would end up being
end up
there.
Happening, yeah.
And it was her, like,
a few moves
this is
ahead.
Like,
yeah,
we need to get this bitch out of here now. And because,
but I don't understand, like, at that one part where there was like that little lull in time, and then the guy comes in to the apartment and is like, "Oh, get me a drink," and then recalibrates her. I'm like, why, if they're like that integrated and like people know these storylines are going on and stuff, and they're like plants in the storyline to make sure that people still think these people are doing, you know, or are who they are. Why didn't they just send that guy in to fucking do the deed? Like, he knows. Yes. Like, well, what are the consequences? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, it's still someone else in someone else's body. Like,
what's so funny about that is, like, if he would have, because she told him to kill her in his body, and he goes, "I can't, I'm a Christian," or whatever. Did he say I'm a vegan? He said something kind of funny, and then she ends up killing him, and you're like, well, you should have done that.
Those weird lapses in time where you don't know what happened because she doesn't know what happened. I love when movies do that, because then you got to piece the puzzles or put the puzzle pieces together. Like,
especially because these two are fighting over the body for the second half of the movie.
What movie? Or not movie? The flight attendant TV series that just aired.
With Penny from Big Bang
Theory.
Yeah,
dude, that was really well done in that respect too.
I need to watch that show still. It's on my to-do list, but yeah.
Really good show, man. Check it out.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to watch Anna Viola at some point now, because this movie really... Dude, sci-fi horror is so good. Sci-fi horror is probably my favorite subgenre of horror. Alien's my favorite movie ever. And then so this stuff is like... I love stuff like Predator and The Thing.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm trying to think about what my... Because, like, I... Definitely just indie horror, but, like, I always said monster movies because you just don't see them done like The Void and, like, those people love them like I do. The practical effects, like Jack Brooks, Monster Slayer. You know, like, those are fun.
Yeah.
Monster... I don't know, man. Maybe that's it. I guess I'll stick with that for now.
Monster movies are always pretty good, man. A good monster movie, like, we don't have good werewolf movies very often anymore, and good, like, vampire movies are harder to find, and so it'll be interesting to see all these Universal movies that are coming up with, like, the monster, like, you know, the Universal monsters and stuff like that, because of how good The Invisible Man was, so.
Oh. Are they... What do you mean, Universal monsters? What, with like Godzilla and everything?
No, like the old, like Frankenstein and Invisible Man, Wolfman and Dracula and all that stuff. All that
they're
stuff
not,
is like,
are they actually doing that?
They're doing Universal like monsters. Like, after The Invisible Man made all the money it did last year, it's like there's a bunch of other ones in production. So
if you do them like that, then I'm on board. But if you're trying to do the fucking Warner Brothers approach where it's like, we have Tom Cruise for no fucking reason. And it's like, come on, guys. You guys are, you're not understanding why these characters and what a cinematic universe should be if that's your first step approach to it. It's like, we got all this money. We just got to catch up to all the others. No, you don't think like that. You start off with good storytellers, and you already own all the good characters, so just get good storytellers to tell stories with your good characters. Done. Hollywood, yay. Like, fuck, it's not rocket science.
I mean, that is it is, again, it's that grab for money instead of the actual,
it's not even,
you know.
Well, I guess, I don't know, The Mummy had like pockets of fun stuff just because I like some of the actors in it and everything, and they were like just typecast to be themselves and everything, but like, it's a bad movie.
Okay,
So No Way Home, so, hey? You excited for Spider-Man?
There's all the different titles they bullshitted with are hysterical. Okay, Josh, are we going to do... Do you have
That's Disney understanding star power and utilizing their star power to gain pretty cheap, because, you know, they're probably paying these people for their social media posts. But still, those little things, that's just good marketing. They understand how to market. It's Disney money. They got the top people and understand how to create buzz.
What are we doing next week, Josh? I have an idea. If we could go...
Do it. It's on you, man.
So, what I'm thinking is, and somebody was actually... I was talking about horror with someone the other day, and someone was telling me to watch... There's another Korean movie that actually, according to Rotten Tomatoes, is one of the highest rated Korean horror movies ever. Like, right after Train to Busan and The Host and... Thirst and everything like that. And this movie's called The Wailing from 2016. I think it's on Shudder. So it is, it's a little bit longer though. So it's like almost 2.5 hours long, but it's a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
So are you good? We good for
yes.
this? The Wailing. Okay, cool. What I'm thinking is that's going to be episode
2016?
Yeah, 2016. The Wailing. Okay. It's called Gok Soong is the original name. But here, I'll put the thing in the chat.
So I don't watch 2014's The Wailing or 20. Yeah.
And I'm liking though because of this, and then you'll pick the next movie, and then for that, then we're going to be on 25, and I think we finally do Old Boy, even though Old Boy is more thriller. But man, that's just a fucked up movie, and I love it so much. I think that's gonna be a good 25 episodes. So,
oh, I just want to watch it anyways. I just want to watch it.
We're doing the Old Boy in, so it'll be 1, 2, and 3 episodes. We'll do it. So,
this is
okay.
Nice.
Okay, Josh. Well, I love your face. We are murdermoose.com. Our Discord is linked on our Twitter. Our Moose Murder Pod is a Twitter. I'm going to try to change the name into something better, but we'll figure about that later. All our things are on murdermoose.com. And leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening if you want. If not, don't worry about it. I'm Rod_Johnston everywhere. Josh is Josh.
Worry about it. 5 stars or you're dead. Fuck.
You're dead to us. Okay. And thanks for listening, guys. It's been a blast. This podcast is so much fun to do, and anyone who listens, we appreciate it. So, Josh, anything else before we get out of here?
Love your face, buddy. See you next week.
Love your face, buddy. Bye. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.